Welcome to the Advisory Accelerator Podcast, designed to help CPAs who serve clients interested in non-traditional services. If you're a public accountant looking to drive more value into existing client relationships, then tune in for tips on accelerating your advisory service offerings. Now, here's your host, Jeff Paulo.
On this edition of the Advisory Accelerator Podcast, we connect with Nick Sinclair, the founder of TOA Global, who leads an incredible firm focused on overcoming the staffing challenges faced by CPAs. We've all heard about offshoring. We've all heard about outsourcing. And perhaps we've even dipped our toe in the water to try to see if those approaches might benefit our firm. Whether it's the inability to have dedicated staff, whether it's a language barrier, whether it's overlapping time zones that never seem to line up correctly, the path is littered with frustrations. You owe it to yourself to listen to this episode because TOA brings an entirely new model to the table where they are actually placing staff in your firm for the long haul. You know them, you build a relationship with them, and you can harness all the advantages that come with having more staff inside of your culture. Take a listen to today's episode. Act on it. I truly believe that staffing can no longer be used as an excuse to move your firm forward and be more proactive advisors. Take a listen. Well, hello again, everybody. This is Jeff Paulo, and I am the president of the Engineered Advisory family of companies and your host for the Advisory Accelerator Podcast, the show that works to help CPAs become more advisory-minded in their practices. On today's show, I'm happy to welcome Nick Sinclair. He's the founder of TOA Global, and he's going to help us navigate the complex world of outsourced staffing and learn how to best utilize a strategic partner in that space. And given what's going on in the profession right now, I'm really looking forward to this conversation. So let's jump right in. Nick, welcome to the Advisory Accelerator Podcast.
Thanks for having me on the show, Jeff. I'm excited to be here.
We're excited to have you, especially in light of what's going on. I'll just jump right in. I facilitated a partner retreat last week for about a $6 million firm, and the one and only topic that we really focused on as we worked to develop their five-year plan was where are they going to find the people? And, you know, you can kind of get depressed if you start looking at the demographics in terms of how many kids are going into the accounting programs at university, what that looks like compared to other sectors. What we're seeing is that the people just aren't there. And I think for the past 10 years or so, we've been able to poach people from one another, but we're getting to the point where we just have to examine maybe other models that perhaps we hadn't considered in the past. So knowing that staffing is the first, second, and last concern of most firms right now, tell me a little bit about TOA Global and how you guys look to correct or help or enhance the staffing function in an accounting firm.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. And the talent shortage is certainly not getting any better, and it's not getting any better in the next few years. So TOA Global is we call it a global staffing solution. So we provide talent through the Philippines, through South Africa. So we really help accounting firms to arbitrage their talent, to be able to give them access to global talent. There is significant talent out there. There are many countries that are struggling to find accountants locally, but in places like the Philippines, we're getting over 3,000 applications a month for 200 jobs. South Africa, you've got a high volume of applicants as well. So there is talent. It's just a matter of going and finding where the best talent is globally and ultimately getting your people to do the right level of work at the right time. And I also say at the right cost. Well, we're in our 10th year now. And yeah, really helping firms to accelerate their talent and people strategy.
You know, it's interesting because you've got a little bit different model than maybe some of the big names that people are used to in the outsourcing space, in that you're truly creating
I guess, filling a position where they're part of the accounting firm's team. So unlike your competitors, where I may not know the people we're working with, I'm kind of inputting the data and then they're fulfilling the order and pushing it back to me. And I really don't have a relationship with the people who got the work done. You're like a long hallway to the Philippines or South Africa, where your placements actually become part of the client's firm. Is that correct?
Yeah, it is. And that came about, I ran an accounting and financial planning business for over 12 years. That was what I used to do prior to falling into building a global solution, talent solutions business. And what I found is that I wanted to, when I sent my work to another company, the success of that was dependent on how successful they were. So when I would send my tax returns across to get done, if they got lots of other firms doing it at the same time, they had the typical growing pains that anyone else would have. They'd need to find more staff. They'd need to train them. Time frames blew out. Quality of work blew out. And the model just didn't work for me. I wanted to have more control. And I also looked at it and went, well, if I'm just sending all of my work to a third party, they're doing it, sending it back. When I actually go to sell my business, what value do I really have? Is it just a client list? Because they could just send it, anyone can just send it to an offshore or an outsourcing provider. So that really took me down the model of wanting to find a solution. And there weren't many where I could set up my own team, recruit the roles that I needed, progress them like I would someone locally. So they would start as a junior and progress all their way through up into a manager level. Do I then bring them across into America or Australia or whichever country? So it is a different model, and it's one about we're helping you to build a team, and that team would have the same structures that you would have locally. It just happens to be in another country in our office environment. So everything's controlled like it would be locally. But yeah, it is a different model to the traditional outsourcing, which is send a job and get a job back. Ours is we'll help you to build a global team.
You know, and I hate to say that the pandemic was a good thing, but the one thing the pandemic did was teach us that we could work remotely. And, you know, we've got several clients that are already utilizing you, and the one that told me they feel like their staff is just down a really long hallway. I think that really speaks to the level of intimacy that people develop under your model. We've learned how to work remotely via Zoom or our collaboration tools, whatever our firm has selected. And, you know, these people are literally becoming part of the firm and growing up with everybody else.
100% agree. And I think that, you know, we've been in serving the US space for 5 years now, but the pandemic definitely accelerated it. It accelerated people's acceptance to needing to build global teams, to needing to look at outsourcing and offshoring and relook at their staffing model. And I think that, you know, people, the pandemic taught people exactly what you said, how to actually manage people when they're not sitting in the office next to you. And that's a big part of having a global team, is that they are in another country, but they're just online. You wouldn't know where they are. And the pandemic taught people that. So it definitely accelerated people's ability to understand how to manage and both workflow and people remotely.
You know, the other thing that our clients rave about when they work with you is the language barrier is almost non-existent, and that your folks are working the same work hours that they're working in terms of when they're in the office. And I really think that's unique to your firm because, you know, if you've worked with outsourcing firms that might source in other countries, and, you know, a lot of us maybe have had some experience working with folks in India, it's not that they're not technically excellent. It's not that they don't do a good job. But I know personally, sometimes it's just really hard to understand them. And what I'm hearing back from our clients is the folks that are in the Philippines, the folks that are in South Africa, you're not encountering that, or at least not anywhere toward the degree that you are with people that reside in other locations. Maybe you can speak to that just a bit.
Yeah, and that's a key point. And that was one of the selection criteria when I had my own firm was, you know, I dealt with India, I dealt with Vietnam, some amazing accounting talent. But it was challenging because of the communication barrier. And if you're going to build a model where you're building your own team, you're not just sending a job across and getting a job back, communication is probably the number one factor in whether it will succeed or fail. So when we look at that, we look at, well, things like, they were a a state of America for over 48 years. So it's, I call it mini America when I go there. It's got a strong affinity with America. So they're taught American English from birth. They're taught, you know, American language in universities, in schools, the whole way through the life, everything is very Americanized. And South Africa is obviously an APEC country, so they've got a strong English communication is very strong there as well. And that was a key factor in choosing countries that where we build teams for our clients, where that is ultimately the number one factor for choosing a new region.
And then how does it work? Like, for example, it's 3:12 Eastern time where I'm sitting talking to you today. And I know it's 3:12 in the morning in Manila, but those folks are on my team timetable. Like, how does that, what's the receptivity of that for your team in the Philippines? And, you know, how does that work?
Yeah, so they work night shifts. So they work, technically it's 9 p.m. to 6 a.m. on their time. A lot of people would go, well, especially accountants, there's no way I would work night shift. And I generally had that feeling when we first started the night shift in the Philippines. But when I actually started speaking to a lot of the people on that shift, they truly believe that they've got the best work-life balance because they work at nighttime, they go home at 6. Typically, the kids go to school at around 7:38 in the Philippines, so they do go earlier. So they're able to get home, they take their kids to school, they come back, they then sleep. By the time they've woken up, they're able to pick up the kids from school. They then are able to spend some quality time with them before they have to go to work. The traffic's obviously less at nighttime. Everything's a lot easier, and then they've got the days to get their work done. So we have no challenge with finding strong talent that wants to work on night shift because in their eyes, it's a better work life for them.
And meanwhile, if they're working 9 to 6, 9 p.m. to 6 in the morning in Manila, that's 9 in the morning to 6 p.m. East Coast time. And, you know, if we flex that a little bit, you know, into the Pacific time zone, it's still workable. Like, I've got people working alongside of me when I'm in the office. And I just think that's critical.
Yeah, well, that was one of the challenges that I had when and with working with other countries like India, for example, was they weren't on your hours. They had a very short crossover time. And to be honest, we're getting a lot of firms coming to us from India, particularly at the moment, because of that is one of their biggest challenges is their teams are either working split shifts and only working 3 hours of crossover, which is fine if you're sending the work to them and they're doing the work and you're getting it back. But if you're actually building a team, you realistically need them in your hours. That's the ideal situation.
See, and I think that's so important. And that came up in the retreat last week as well, is, you know, not having a 1 or 2 hour window where we can kind of do the handshake and then, you know, we'll talk tomorrow, but literally bringing somebody up as part of your staff where they're attending meetings, they're enmeshed in the culture of the firm. I just think that's a differentiator in terms of the job we're asking them to do. And it was so funny because, you know, it was a room full of partners and managers. We probably had, I don't know, 15 people in total that were participating in the retreat. And one of the questions I asked them, I said, how many of you over the last 2 weeks did work that in a perfect world would have been done at a level below or maybe two levels below where you sit right now? And every hand went up in the room. And I said, why are we doing this? Because, you know, one of the things we do at the Growth Partnership is we own the Rosenberg Survey and we've got Inside Public Accounting. So we've got all the data for these two huge benchmarking surveys at our disposal. And what we see correlates consistently with net income per partner are rates and leverage. And so if we want to talk about leverage, we can't have partners doing manager or senior level tasks, but they end up doing it. And the number one reason is we just don't have the people to get it done. So in this particular situation, and there was a statistic you brought forward at the very beginning, the number of people that are applying for 200 openings that you have right now is staggering. So we've got the ability to scale in this model as dramatically as we want to.
Yeah, and I think that solves some real challenges. It gets the right people doing the right work. And you just mentioned that, you know, everyone put their hand up for doing levels of work that they shouldn't be. So this really enables you to get the right people doing the right work at the right cost. But it also, because of the cost arbitrage, it allows you to put back a little bit more money to pay above salary or above market salaries to your local team so that you attract and retain the best talent. And that's another factor that a lot of people, when they're building a global team, they don't necessarily look at that. They're now looking at, well, we've got access to talent. It's got a great cost arbitrage. It's not really a major factor anymore. It used to be, but it's not anymore. But now you've got the ability to put some of that arbitrage back into your local team to really be able to attract and then ultimately keep the best talent. And I think that if you're getting people to do meaningful work, and this is a big part of growing a team, is if they're doing meaningful work at the value at the level that they should be, it's valuable work to them, which keeps them interested, which keeps them wanting to do the role. So if they're doing lower level work, it's not meaningful, and it doesn't have as much, when they go home, I suppose, at night, they don't have as much fulfillment from doing the role when they're not doing the level of work that they should be. And that is a factor of attrition and churn.
Well, and I think looking at it from the client side as well, I don't want my partners counting cash at the expense of trying to figure out which credit or incentive might apply to my situation for this tax year. So yeah, I think there's a lift on the employee side, but I also think there's a lift on the client side as well, if we can get people aligned with the job that they're supposed to be doing. You mentioned the arbitrage. So, hey, we're saving a little bit on staffing when we use the outsourcing model. We can redeploy that capital to maybe pay above market for our local people to make sure we're driving retention. Talk a little bit about the economics. Like, what should I expect if I'm looking to staff in South Africa or the Philippines in terms of what I might pay for equivalent staff here in the States?
So in the Philippines, we generally say that you could get three for the cost of one salary. So if you're paying $80,000 a salary, then roughly a third of that is what the total cost would be in the Philippines. And in South Africa, it's about 70% of that. So you'd save about 30%. So, you know, a high-level auditor, for example, if we're looking at an audit role, would cost, call it $30,000 US a year, as opposed to in the US, it would be $100,000.
Wow. Those are significant numbers.
Yeah, it is a big cost arbitrage. And that's, I suppose, when we first started 10 years ago, that was what a real driver to people doing this. Now firms are coming to us saying, look, we're not, you know, the cost arbitrage is great, but we just can't find talent. So that's almost, you know, that's the first reason. The secondary is we do get that cost arbitrage. But that's really where you can get 2 to 3 staff for the same cost of one locally. And that's where you can really, I suppose, grow the capacity within the firm, because you can scale up in a cost-effective way and give that firm the capacity without putting undue stress financially or on the team.
So let me ask you this, and I just want to address another issue that came out of that retreat. You know, it's intuitive to me that if we wanted to come to you and say, hey, find us a good first-year accountant that we can plug in and they can kind of grow in the natural progression through our firm. That makes sense. I get them from day one. I can include them in the culture. I can train them. I'm doing everything for them that I would be doing for my people that are located here. That makes sense to me. But what I think there's a huge demand for senior or new manager level talent. So let's say that 4 to 7 or 4 to 8 year professional that could come in underneath one of these partners who finds themselves doing manager or senior level work at the expense of being more engaging with their clients. Talk me through how that works. Can I find somebody that's got that level of experience and get them plugged in?
We call them unicorns. We generally say no. And that's one of the biggest challenges. If you can't find them in the US, if you're looking in another country that, you know, isn't trained in the US. So the normal answer is no, and we're the largest provider of accountants to accounting firms in the US in the Philippines. So second largest employer overall of accountants in the Philippines, and largest that provides international talent. And if you put all of our competitors together along with us, there isn't enough accountants there working for American firms yet that has that talent pool that is trained for 5 to 7 years. But that's really where we've brought in and understood that challenge that our clients had over 5 years ago and brought in a training business. So we're able to help arbitrage some of help with firms with the training barrier that they have, because a lot of them lack time and a lot of them lack skill in being able to train people. They're great technicians, but they don't necessarily understand how to train someone remotely. So we've been able to bring in training for firms where all of their team members go through a professional development plan. They have a 9-year career plan, which includes a competency framework as well as roles and levels. So if you want to progress someone from a junior to a manager, what are the skills that they need? What's the technical capability they need? They'd become an enrolled agent along the way. That then become an American CPA along the way. So all of that training we're able to facilitate through our training, ultimately our training division. So does it solve the problem right now, giving them a senior? No. But what we typically see is when we ask firms who locally could you, if you had more time and capacity and the team under you had more capacity, who could you fast track in your team to be that person? Rather than trying to just go and find someone, who could you fast track and how do we take the work off them and everyone below them and put that in the global team so that they can be fast tracked? Because they already know your business, you already know them. It's just you need to be able to invest more time in them.
So in other words, how do I free up my current senior to do the work I need them to do as opposed to the work they're doing down channel by getting somebody down channel to get that work taken care of?
Yes. And over time, as the business has people with us, and we've certainly got clients. We've got one client that has half of their managers are in the Philippines and they're even managing US accountants. So US accountants are reporting to someone in the Philippines, but they've been with us for over 5 years now. So they've been able to build those people through their structures in the Philippines to that manager level. So it doesn't solve the problem day one, but it does build your longer-term people strategy, and within a couple of years, you'll definitely have people at all those different levels.
Got it. What is the – so if I'm engaging you, how far up the ladder can I go in terms of you being able to place somebody? Obviously, I can get a brand-new hire, but can I hire a 2-year, 3-year, 4-year person? Like, how far up that ladder can I go right out of the chute?
So typically, we'd say you can't hire anyone that has 3 to 5 years of US experience, but the accountants we do provide you will have up to, some of them have 10, 15 years of accounting experience, just not US. So they'll have accounting experience and they may have worked in a range of different companies, whether it be local tax companies or whether it be global corporate companies. So they would definitely have experience in accounting, but not the specific US tax.
But that's teachable. Like if I've got somebody that understands tax in a different nationality, you know, we can get them, we can train them on the US stuff. It's the ability to do it to begin with that I think is most valuable.
100%. And that's the benefit. When I gave you the cost arbitrage on the people before, when I was saying that it's a third. So typically with a junior or, you know, an intermediate role even, they don't have much experience. They've got obviously gone to college. The difference is in the Philippines, for example, you would get someone for that same money that has 5 to 7 years worth of accounting experience, just not in the US. So you're also getting someone with technically more practical experience than you would if you're going and recruiting a graduate, but the cost arbitrage is still a third.
Got it. Okay, that's insightful. All right, so let me ask the question, it's the elephant in the room, because this, and I'm sure this comes up on every potential client you talk with. Talk to me a little bit about security, because that's going to be the number one question I know I get asked from my clients as we continue to introduce them to you.
Yes, sir. I mean, security is, bless you, it is definitely something that comes up. I think there's a few ways that we can cover this off. The first one is that our team members work in your IT environment. So they work within our facility, and I'll talk about our facility and how that's managed in a second. But ultimately, because they're dialing into your systems, it really comes back to how secure your systems are. So if someone's working from their home and they're not working in your office, your IT configuration and setup is obviously set up to protect both the business and the team members from security and cyber and all those things. Ours is exactly the same. They happen to be dialing in through our network into yours in a secure way. Within our office environment, we have work areas and we have downtime areas. So about a third of our office is break rooms and cafes and medical clinics and all of that side of it. On the other side of it, it's the production area, which is where they actually work. Within those environments, they're not able to take mobile phones. They're not able to take iPads. There's no USBs. There's no printers. There's no ability for them to be able to download or print anything within that environment. So it's a very secure environment. We have security personnel within our offices. A few factors for that. 70% of our staff are female. We want to make sure that there aren't any breaches of these privacy abilities to be able to take phones, et cetera, in. From an IT security point of view, we are extremely locked down. Our team members can only access your system within our office environment if we work with your IT company to lock it down to our IP address only. So it's a very, to be honest, if I went into most accounting firms, I would look at the way that their security and systems work, and then I walk into ours. Ours is, you know, I call it bank level quality. It's bank level structures, and the amount we invest in that is significant. And, you know, we've got a team of over 50 in our IT of various levels, extremely high level people that focus on this. So as long as your IT setup locally is strong, then ours is just someone dialing in remotely, basically. That's the easy way to summarize it.
That's helpful, because I know that question comes up all the time. I've understood your approach and how you answer that, but, you know, really having the employee work in the client space in that controlled environment really eliminates the data security. And I appreciate your comment about, you know, being maybe more secure than the clients they're working for. So that's helpful.
And that's one of the benefits of this model versus where you send a job and get a job, because in the other model, you are sending your information to them. And they're the custodian of your information until they return it. And even after they return it, you're still on their systems. To our model is very much that your people, they work on your environment. So that's where it really a matter of locally, you just need to make sure that your system is set up in a secure way that people can work remotely, and remotely being not just in America, but also from another country into that system.
Now, clearly, we're going to have you with us at the Habu conference the first week in August down in Dallas. I think you guys are going to speak and exhibit and be there with us for the 2 days. But if I'm somebody that can't wait that long to get in touch with you, what's the best way for me to make contact and reach out to get the ball rolling?
Yeah, so we'll definitely be at the event. I'm excited to be there. But if you want to reach out prior, you can just go to our website, toaglobal.com. Or you can reach out to me on LinkedIn and just send me a private message, and we're more than happy to have a conversation.
Awesome. And for those folks that are listening today that are clients of the Growth Partnership, Amanda Gardner can also be your point of contact in terms of connecting the dots and arranging for an initial conversation. Nick, it's impressive what you've got going on. I've seen it deployed in, you know, 5 or 6 of our clients now. We've got several other that are interested in talking to you, and I know you're going to have a long line at your booth after you speak at the conference. Anything else for the benefit of our listeners before we let you go?
I think the big one is focus on your people and your strategy. And I think that over the years, and the pandemic's probably accelerated people needing to with this talent shortage, but ultimately, people are your biggest asset. We're a service-based business. Things are going to get automated, but as accountants, we're always going to be needed to hold our clients' hands. And for me, it's around focusing on that, you know, 3 to 5 year people strategy. What people are you going to need at that point in time so that you can start developing and growing them through the business now? And ultimately, it's for me, it's about where is the right talent for you? And your people strategy needs to include contractors and short-term staff. It needs to include a global team. And then it needs to include your local team. It's not just a one-dimensional, well, we'll put an ad up and get people. So really focus on your people strategy. People are your biggest asset. It is true. It's cliche, but it's true. And yeah, we look forward to working, continuing to work with you, Jeff, and excited for the event and this continual relationship.
Well said, Nick. Looking forward to seeing you in Dallas as well. And there you have it, folks. Nick Sinclair, the founder of TOA Global. It's not fair to use staffing as an excuse anymore, because there are options like this that are available to you that are well thought out, very secure, very entrepreneurial, that can allow you to overcome the staffing challenges that you're facing. in a way that allows everyone to do the work that is, in fact, the highest and best use of their time. So I encourage you to reach out to Nick, to reach out to Amanda, to come to the conference and meet them in person. They can help make a difference, and they can help accelerate the success of your firm. That'll do it for today's episode. Nick, thanks for joining us, and we'll talk again soon.
Thanks for having me, Jeff.
And there we have it, another episode focused on helping our CPA listeners accelerate their firm's advisory practice. The Advisory Accelerator podcast is sponsored by the Engineered Advisory family of companies, Engineered Tax Services, The Growth Partnership, Able CRM, and Inside Public Accounting. Learn more about how we help CPAs accelerate their advisory practices at engineeredadvisory.com. Until next time, this is Jeff Paulo signing off and wishing you nothing but success as you transition your firm from compliance to advisory.